Jesus, and reaching for us every day, God. To you, God, we give all the glory, we give all of the honor and all of the praise. In Jesus' holy name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Life is a journey, culminating into some unknown final destination. Each and every one of us here tonight should have that same destination in mind, although the path that we take in getting there for each one of us will be different. The path that I walk is different than the path that Brother Wilson walks. The path that Brother Wilson walks is different than the path that Sister Robin's going to walk. Each one of us takes steps throughout this life. Each one of us has a path that we're going to take. And each one of us will walk a different path, but with the same goal and the same purpose in mind.
Right.
The same ending, the same destination that we're looking for. Some of us here tonight are looking for that scenic route, full of excitement and adventure, while others are content to take the quiet path, just taking life as it comes, day by day. Ultimately, we each hope to come together at our final destination called heaven. This is the goal, the destination, the end which each and everyone here should be striving for. If we're here tonight, we're looking for that goal. We're looking for that ending. We're looking for that day that we get to stand before Jesus Christ. That time when we get to know that we're going to spend an eternity with Him. Walking those streets of gold and feasting at His table and obtaining all that He has for us when we get there.
Right.
Tonight, your past achievements become but a shadow. And your past mistakes have the opportunity to become a distant memory. For those here tonight within the sound of my voice, you are at the cusp, at the brink, at the very edge of something new.
Right.
Should you choose to take the next step. Tonight you should you choose to believe in the divine power of God and that nothing happens by chance, then you believe that you are here for a reason. I believe that. I believe that when we come into a church service, when we come into the presence of God, we are there for a reason. God wants to speak to you. God wants to do something in you. God wants to change you. Something. God's got a plan, and we need to believe in that plan. We need to believe. God, you brought me here for a reason.
Yeah.
God, I'm in this place, in this moment, in this time, right now, for a reason.
Amen.
And ultimately, everywhere we go, things that we do in our life are for a reason. Sometimes for our growth, sometimes for our admonition, sometimes we make mistakes. They're for a reason. And it is the reason that you are here tonight is the fact that life has brought you to Redemption's Gate. And that's exactly what I'd like to title my message tonight. Standing at Redemption's Gate.
Right.
You're at a point in time, you're at a crossroads, you're at a decision-making time. That time when you can cross through, you can pass over, where you can find redemption.
Right.
I've made mistakes in my life. I've made many mistakes in my life. Some mistakes I regret. Some things I wish I had never done. I've done some things that have hurt myself. I've done things that have hurt other people. Those mistakes don't have to dictate your life. Those mistakes don't have to change your future. Tonight, your future can be changed.
Yeah.
Tonight, your destiny can be changed.
Right.
Tonight, all of those past mistakes, all of those things can be left exactly where they were in the past as you step into Redemption's Gate. God is divine. Your life was seen and laid out before you were born. God seeing events in your life and allowing you to experience every one of those events, both good and bad. Well, why would God allow me to experience and put whatever bad thing that's ever happened in your life after that sentence? You think, why would God allow me to go through that? God has a purpose. God has a plan. We've heard again just recently in different messages about Job. Job went through that. God, why would you allow me to lose everything? God, why would you take my family away? Why would you wipe them off the face of the earth? What did I do? The Bible said he was a man that eschewed evil, that he was righteous. He had done nothing wrong. But God knew the beginning, knew Job from the beginning, and knew what his end was going to be. That's why when Satan came, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God was not punishing Job. God knew Job. God knows you. God knows what you can handle, what you can endure. And there's some things that we cannot endure on our own. That's why we have a God. That's why we have that God that we can go to. We can get on our knees and say, "God, I can't do this on my own." And we can say, "God, I need you in this moment. I need you in this time. I need you in this temptation. I need you in this trial. I need you to help me."
Yeah.
And we have that. We serve a God that is going to be there to help you, that is going to make a way, because he's allowed you to get into a situation that he's going to want to take you through to get you onto the other side. Well, why didn't God keep me from doing? Again, each one of us can put different things in that sentence. There's things that I wish I had never done. As a young man, I was full of confidence. Lost my driver's license for a short time because I had too many speeding tickets. Thought, I'll just drive back and forth to work. I won't speed. I'll be a law-abiding citizen. It'll be all good. I won't go driving all over town, work, and home for 2 months. And 1 month and 3 weeks later, I went home for lunch. Drove home, no problems. Time to go back to work. I get in my truck. I start driving back to work, and I crest over the hill, and there's police and conservation officers and all these people, big roadblock across the road. Thought, well, they weren't there when I went home. Nowhere for me to go. I drive up to the roadblock. "Can we see your license and registration?" I said, "Here's my registration." And, I must have left my wallet at home. "Oh, okay. That's all right. Just pull over to the side of the road here." And he comes and asks me, he goes, "Well, do you know your driver's license number?" "Oh, yeah, I know my number," and I gave him my number. "This truck belongs to you?" "Oh, yes, it does, officer." "Yep, that's all good." "Okay, I'll be back in a minute." Thought, he'll just go write me a ticket for not having a driver's license on me. And I waited. And I waited. And I see him on his computer. And I see him on his radio. I thought, this isn't going to end well. A little over a year later, I got my driver's license back. Paid a hefty fine. Paid off some more points on my license, and learned a valuable lesson. Why didn't I just listen? Why did I do that? Why didn't I just do what I knew was right to do? And we learn from our mistakes. Or we should learn from our mistakes. But God isn't in heaven waiting to beat us up for our mistakes. God isn't up there waiting to destroy us because we've made a mistake. God is up in heaven saying, "The gate is open. Here you stand at redemption's gate. All you need to do is walk through." We've all heard the story about Joseph. Joseph was favored by his father. His father made no bones about letting all the rest of the sons know that Joseph was his favorite. Made him that coat of many colors, favored him above. Joseph one night had a dream, and he dreamed that his brothers were going to be bowing down to him. And then he had another dream that his brothers and his parents were going to be bowing down to him. And they all laughed and scorned at him. "Oh, sure, we're going to bow down to you." And it made them hate Joseph even more. One day his father says, "I want you to go check on your brothers. They're out tending the animals. Go check and see how they're doing and report back to me." Oh, here comes that dreamer again. Here comes daddy's little favorite son. And they schemed to kill him. And then instead of killing him and having Joseph's blood on their hands, let's throw him in the pit. Oh, look at that. Here come some slavers. We can sell Joseph, and we don't have to kill him. And we know the story. Joseph goes off, gets sold into Potiphar's house. Things happen. He goes to prison. Joseph had a bad life. We've all heard about Joseph. But what about his brothers? What about his brothers who, on that fateful night, as they're sitting around their campfire maybe and they're watching and they see their younger brother coming up the road and going, "You don't like Joseph, do you?" "No, I didn't think so." "Yeah, no, you either?" "No, none of us like Joseph. Spoiled, rotten little brat is all he is." And they make decisions in their life that would ultimately, I believe, alter their destiny for many years. They make that decision at first to try to kill him. Then one speaks reason into the rest of them and they decide not to kill him. They make that decision to sell him off and they make the decision to go back to their father and lie about what had happened to his favorite son. You can imagine the years ticking by as the rest of the brothers every day wondering, whatever happened to Joseph?
Right.
Wish we hadn't have done that. Did you see how bad it hurt Dad when we told him what had happened to his favorite son? He's never been the same since, and we caused that. Day after day. Dealing with their past, dealing with what they had done, the mistakes that they had made. Genesis chapter 42. We find the brothers again, a little further along in history. Joseph, again, we've heard how he moved up through the ranks and he was in prison and interpreted the dream and was made it second highest in Pharaoh's household. He was in charge of all the being ready for the famine. Then the famine that Joseph had told in the dream came to pass. Suddenly those brothers start looking for food. Genesis chapter 42 and verse number 5 says, "And the sons of Israel came to buy corn amongst those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him." Oh, now's my opportunity. He spent years in prison. In that cold, wet, damp cell, alone, working hard because of what they did to me. That's what some of us would think. That's the way some of us would act. Oh, I can't wait to get revenge. I'm the governor. I can go like this. Guards will be in here. Take them away and throw them into prison. Just that easy. Nobody would even ask any questions. Then maybe I can send a letter home to their daddy, to my daddy, and say, "Oh, sorry, all of your sons were eaten by a beast." Joseph didn't do that. Joseph looked down on those brothers. And he looked down at the lost opportunities, the lost family that he never got to experience. Joseph's brothers found themselves at this time standing at redemption's gate. They were at the hands and at the mercy of the one who was once their victim. But Joseph did as God does with us, and he looked down on his brethren. And even though he could have enacted revenge, showed them mercy. Tonight, here at Redemption's Gate, grace and mercy are waiting for you. Tonight, as you stand at that gate, it is up to you. Will you pass through? Will you walk through to the other side as you stand at redemption's gate? Mistakes that are made. Paths chosen. Sometimes when we're at a crossroads, we take a step, not knowing where that road is going to lead. Not knowing what outcome our decisions are going to have. Not only on our lives, but on the lives of those around us. We make a choice, a decision, in an instant, in a moment, that could change our life forever. Sometimes we make the right decisions and sometimes we don't. Another man in the Bible, Samson. A man who, because of his long hair, had power. Never had a razor touch his head. Did great things battling the Philistines. No army, no man could touch him. Doing amazing things that would defeat them, his enemies, and nobody could, as hard as they tried, they couldn't bring this man down until they met a woman by the name of Delilah. Samson, Samson, where does your power come from? And he lied to her. And she would try to get people to come in and overtake him, and he would escape. Time and again. Finally, all of her insistent asking wearied him down. And in Judges chapter 16, we find the story of Samson. Judges 16 and verse 17 says that he told her all his heart. And said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Have you ever done anything in your life that you've regretted? Have you ever done anything in your life that have made you feel ashamed, worthless? Have you ever spoken words that you wish you could take back? Words that hurt, words that destroyed. Have you ever treated someone in a way that has torn them down rather than offering a hand to pick them up? I have. I've done all those things. I'm sure that each one of us here tonight, at some point in our lives, have done those things. We've done things that down the road, why? Why did I do that? Samson, I believe, would have regretted sharing his heart with Delilah. He would have wished that he had held his tongue and that he would have cherished that gift given to him by God. Never will anybody know the secret. Never will anybody pry that from me. And as he ground in that place, grinding the wheat, eyes poked out of his head, working, slaving. Another bad choice. Another path that that was wrongly taken. Gets to a point, you bring him up and they start making sport of him. And they bring him into the Colosseum, into the place where they had, to their arenas. Let's have fun with that great and mighty Samson. The one that used to be the bane of our existence. In Judges chapter 16, down to verse 28, says, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. In that time and in that moment, Samson, those pillars were his redemption's gate. As he stood there when he realized, there's no hope. There's no chance. God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry that I didn't cherish what you gave me. I'm sorry I didn't value it higher than sharing it with that woman. And he called out to his God. He called out to the same God that you and I serve today. He called out to that God that he might find redemption for his past mistakes. And in that moment and in that time, God said, I will redeem you. I will answer your prayer. I will hear your cry. And in that moment, gave Samson back his strength. That Samson had the strength to pull down those pillars, to avenge himself for his eyes being taken out, for the mistakes that were made. We have that opportunity. Say, God, I'm sorry. To say, God, wash me. Cleanse me, O Lord. Purify this heart, God. Touch my mind and touch my heart, God. Let's fast forward a little further to the one who is the author of redemption. Jesus came down. Jesus in this earth, God manifest in flesh, on this earth, walking, teaching, preaching, working miracles, doing signs and wonders, showing forth his power, finds himself arrested, on trial before Pilate. Pilate stands out there. At this time, I'm supposed to release a prisoner. Who would you rather that I release? This Jesus or Barabbas, this leader of the insurrection, this evil person that's in prison? And the people cried out, Barabbas. Let Barabbas go. What should I do to Jesus then? Crucify him. The people that were at the house when they tore the roof off to let down the lame man that he could find his healing. The people that were thronging Jesus when the woman with the issue of blood reached through the crowd and touched his robe. And Jesus turned around and said, Who touched me? The people that stood there and watched as the tomb, the door to the tomb rolled away and Lazarus came hopping forth, a man raised from the dead. The people that were on the mountainside when all Jesus had was a few loaves and a couple of fish and blessed it and broke it and fed the multitude. Those were the people that yelled, Crucify him. Take him down. Those were the people that Jesus on the cross said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." They had followed Him. They had walked after Him. They had seen His miracles. They had witnessed all these different signs. They wanted what He had. Until He wanted their lives to change. Until the crowd got riled up. Those same people that yelled, "Crucify Him," I believe, were some of the people that were outside of that house that contained the upper room. And those people were out in that crowd when the 120 came out of that upper room speaking in tongues, and they started to wonder, what is going on here? And some of the people gathered around and they started asking questions, and Peter stood up on the side of the road or wherever it was that he went to on that day. And all these people gathered around and he started to tell them, "It was you. You were the ones that yelled, 'Crucify Him.' It was you. You were the ones that caused our Lord and Savior to be hung upon a cross. You are the ones that did this. Did you not know who Jesus was? Did you not witness the signs? Did you not see what Jesus did when He was on this earth?" And it was those same people that said unto Peter, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in their heart. The words that Peter said to him cut deep. They began to realize what they had done. They began to realize what a mistake they had made. Not realizing that it wasn't a mistake, that it was foreordained, that it was predestined that Jesus should die upon that cross so that we had the opportunity tonight to stand at redemption's gate. That we would have this opportunity today to be able to come before Him and say, "Jesus, forgive me for my sins," and know that He's in heaven and He's going to answer that cry. Right. It was all predestined. They were standing at redemption's gate asking, "What do we need to do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost." And that day, 3,000 souls passed through redemption's gate. 3,000 people on that day realized that they needed their past mistakes washed away, that they needed everything that they had done up to that moment erased. And I'm here to confess that since I've received the Holy Ghost, since I was repented of my sins, and since I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, I've made mistakes. I've made many mistakes. And there's times when I need to get to that gate and I need to say, "God, I am sorry for what I've done. God, I'm sorry for what I've said. God, I'm sorry for what I've thought. God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done that are against You." Because we go through that plan, we go through that new birth experience, doesn't mean that we're lily white. Doesn't mean that we're in heaven. Because if that was the case, God would have made it so that after we repented, got baptized in Jesus' name, and God would fill us with the Holy Ghost, we would go poof and go up to see Him. We're not saved until we're there. Right. We're not perfect until He makes us perfect in heaven. So let's bring this home. On Sunday morning, Sister Z prepared a wonderful illustration for hers and Brother Mike's Sunday school class. She prepared the marriage supper of the Lamb, the culmination of our journey here on this earth, to be at that table, the bride with her groom. It's what I'm looking forward to. It's what I want to see. That's the end of our journey on this earth. In the beginning of our eternity with Him. But to get there, you must pass through that gate. Redemption's gate. Luke chapter 13 and verse 23. It says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. It's a great thought, that illustration of being there with Jesus, feasting at his table, that marriage supper of the Lamb. The groom is preparing for his bride to come. Will the bride be ready? Will you be ready? And Sister Z, if you can hear me, could you please come? At this altar tonight stands redemption's gate. Will you pass through? Will you say, I need redemption's gate? And will you go through to the other side? Ephesians, in our opening scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. As we stand together tonight, each one of us stand at redemption's gate. But it's up to you. It's up to you tonight. Do you want that redemption? Do you want that grace and that mercy applied to your life? Samson could have died as they made sport with him. He could have given up. Nothing to live for. Got no sight. Could have just stood there and let them kill him. But he called upon his God, said, God, I made a mistake, and I need your help. Imagine Joseph's brethren when he finally revealed who he was to them. But you could have thrown us in prison. But you could have done what we did to you. You could have done worse. But even after what we did to you, you loved us. And you showed mercy upon us. God could do much worse to us. But he's ready to show mercy. And he's ready to show grace.